WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour on what is currently a beautiful Wednesday morning. I know things are going to change a little bit as the day goes on, but right now you got 60 degrees out there in sunshine. So get outside while you can. We're going to get some clouds, though, coming in a little bit later on. Should we just go outside and do the rest of the show out there? Remember that when you would go to school and it was a nice day and the teacher would say, do you want to have class outside today? I would say, yeah. Then you go outside and sit down in the grass and learn out there. I wish we could do that, but it would take a little bit of planning on my part. I don't have everything ready to just grab and move out there. By the way, I've put a hold on our planned radio swap meet broadcast that I was going to do on Memorial Day. Put a hold on that. So there's some things I've got to work out behind the scenes here to make sure that it would be okay to do it all. So we might hold off on that and do it sometime this summer. But for right now, we're just going to hold off on it. Still plan on doing it. It just won't be happening on Memorial Day, which is good because now I can just take Memorial Day off and sleep in. So a couple of things. Of course, in the last hour, I was talking about the three-year-old girl that has an irrational fear of John Wilkes Booth. After visiting Ford's Theater, she thinks John Wilkes Booth is hiding under her bed and is going to come out and kill her. So I'm asking today, what is your irrational fear? It's okay, no judgment. We won't criticize you. We won't mock you. But what's your irrational fear? 508-996-0500. And I've got a story that I want to discuss coming up about one of my favorite topics, sandwiches. But I also mentioned earlier, Barry has an article at WBSM.com and on the app and now on our Facebook page as well about Senate President Karen Spilka looking to use the power of her position to push forward legislation to ban cell phones in schools. And we're getting some interesting comments on that. As I said, you know, it's something that people are divided over. There are parents who say, I don't want my kid to not have their cell phone on them. I want to be able to reach them and have them reach me any moment of the day. Which is weird because many of us didn't grow up that way, but okay. I understand things are different now. And then also you've got the people who are saying, no, phones don't belong in school. But I'm guessing a lot of those are people that don't actually have kids in school right now. So in the comments under this story, because, you know, naturally, it's the WBSM Facebook page, so we're going to get a bunch of people who are like, well, I think we should ban politicians. Yeah, okay. Thanks for contributing to the conversation. But Marissa says phones should never have been allowed in school in the first place. And I thought in the early days of phones that they weren't allowed in school. I remember when every kid started having pagers, and if our pager went off, they would take our pager away. So we all just learned to put them on vibrate. But I thought in the early days, they did take away phones. I don't know when that changed. Debbie says kids shouldn't have phones in school. Dave, ban them all now already. Rich says it's the social media that they're looking at while on their phones that is detrimental. I mean, while that's probably true to some degree, I think there's other things that they're doing on their phone, like, you know, utilizing ChatGPT to give them, you know, the answers to the test, you know, sending texts back and forth with other people in the class. I think it's more than just the social media part of it. Rick, a different, this is Rick as opposed to Rich. Rick says they are learning tools. You know, there was a time when you weren't allowed to use a calculator. And then eventually they said, well, we're going to allow kids to use calculators. And now look at us. It's funny because I remember my math teacher saying in high school, you know, it's not like you're always going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket. You got to learn how to do this stuff. And here it is, you know, 30 years later, and we're using calculators because we've got a calculator in our pocket. So I guess that was an incorrect prediction. I forget if it was Mr. Rojic or Mr. Dunn that said it, but I think it was Mr. Rojic. Christopher says, maybe if the teachers were not afraid to discipline kids that are using their phones, sorry, I'm not able to kind of follow all of this, but that's the main point. Maybe if they weren't afraid to discipline the kids, then it would be okay. Danielle says, kids shouldn't have phones in school. I agree. We didn't. We were just fine. I don't think this is a big deal. Earl says, while I absolutely agree cell phones, you should be banned, cell phones should not be banned. With all the mass shootings happening, having a communications tool is vital to safety when the peanut butter hits the fan. But also, I mean, I've talked about this before, and people don't like to hear it. And I've been accused of downplaying school shooting violence, and I would never do that at all. But the likelihood of that happening in your child's classroom is very, 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 very tiny. However, if it makes you feel better that they have that access, I totally understand. I totally understand your position. And I think the point of the person who was having trouble making their point is a valid one. That the problem isn't having the phones in school, it's how they're being utilized. So I don't know how you fix that problem, because that wasn't regulated really enough from the start. But like I said, I don't know where I really stand on it, because I can see both sides of it. I can see that you could say phones are unnecessary. We have other ways for parents to be able to reach their child if they need to. And then you have parents who say, yeah, but there's too much that happens these days. I need to have direct contact with my child. I can kind of see either one of them. If I was a teacher, I would not want them. But if I was a teacher, I would also not want to be the only teacher that says, I'm the teacher that phones aren't allowed in my classroom. And they've tried things like locking them up in those yonder pouches and whatever else they've tried. And that's not enough for people, because they say, well, then how is my child going to get to it if there's an emergency? The point is that they have it on their person. But I don't know, you know, the specifics of where they're kept and how long it takes them to get to them and how hard it would be to get to them. And all I know is, you know, to kind of quote one of those other commenters, we didn't have them when I was in school and we were fine. Like I said earlier, when I was younger, my parents would call the office. The office would page you over the intercom. They would say, Tim Weisberg to the office. And all the kids would go, ooh, like you did something wrong. But really, it's just your mom telling you, hey, I'm coming to pick you up in an hour, because don't forget you have a doctor's appointment and you're totally forgotten. And then when I got to high school, they had the phones in the classroom that could dial out if I needed to call home, and where my parents, again, could call the office and the office could push that call directly through to the classroom I was in. And in fact, when I was in high school, I spent a lot of time in the AV room. That was kind of my home base my junior and senior year. And my parents had a direct line, direct dial number for the AV room. So they would actually call there to see if I was there first. But anyway, the world is different than it was in, you know, the mid-90s. Hard to believe. Next year will be my 30th. Well, I don't know if we're going to have a reunion, but it'll be my 30th high school reunion. And if you've never been to a high school reunion, it all depends on what year it is, I think. And also, you know, Facebook changed things. I went to my 10-year and it was terrible. That was in 2006. Everybody still hung out in their clicky groups. But by the 20th, it was a different thing because we'd all kind of reconnected on social media. So I think it has changed and made it so that, yeah, the reunion can be a little bit more fun. Or maybe it's just that you get older and, you know, you've grown as people. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. I'm a little bit older than you, but we're relatively in the same age bracket. And you've got a kid, too. I've got a kid. My ideology, I guess, with raising my kid is trying to teach him how to do things without the use of technology in case there is no technology to use. If that makes any sense, like, what's a kid going to do if they don't have their phone right next to them? Same thing with, you know, teaching a kid how to write cursive instead of typing on a keyboard. What if that keyboard's not there? How are you going to send a message if you don't even know how to write? You know, so I think that, how do I say it? I think phones, they're great tools. They're just not being used. And I think that's what's leading to this idea of banning them in schools. If they were used, if they weren't abused, then I don't think this would even be an issue.
But I do think it's probably one of the harder things to regulate. Of all the things that, you know, kids bring into school from a technological point of view, I think this is probably the hardest thing to regulate, especially parents don't want them to have them out of their hands. You know, if you went into school with a Game Boy, if you or I brought a Game Boy into school, it's easy for the teacher to just take the Game Boy away and put it in the desk and say, you can have this back at the end of the day.
Right. And if there was an emergency, I want my son to call me and tell me what's, you know, tell me, come get me, Dad. So I completely understand that. So it all boils down to just not abusing it unnecessarily. Don't sit there and text on your phone all day long when you should be paying attention to your teacher. So it's self-discipline thing. And I believe that it'll kind of correct itself if certain parameters are followed. You know what I mean?
So you just got to work through, you know, and figure out best policies.
Yeah. Don't completely. I understand both sides. Trust me, I do. I'm a father, so I understand. But if we can just get the kids to not be on their phones, just kind of change that culture, that habit, even for 6 hours a day, that's it, 5 hours a day off your phone, then we wouldn't even have to make a big deal about it.
Yeah, I kind of relate it to, like, you know, going to a concert. If my kid was going to a concert, I want him to have his phone with him in case something happens. But I also hope he's not on his phone the entire time because he's going to miss the concert.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's a self-discipline thing. You just kind of have to hope. And then I'm a father, you're a father. Kids have phases. So hopefully the kid's going to, you know, it's not going to last forever. You just got to get through it.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. You too.
All right, I'm going to take a break here, but if you want to call in and chime in, 508-996-0500. I mean, really quickly, I think I'm a little bit at a disadvantage to really comment in the same way, because while I do have a son, well, he's going to be 21 in a couple of weeks, so he's an adult now, but when he was younger, he had a cell phone, but he just wasn't obsessive about it, and he's never really, while he's always had technology, you know, he's not like obsessive about it. So I think that was kind of, we were kind of at a different perspective on it than other parents were. Like, you know, my son, it would be, you know, other kids would be like, oh my God, like this kid's on the phone all the time. Other time, like my son, he'd go out with his friends and be like, we were texting you. Don't you check your phone? And he'd be like, no, I turned it off because I didn't need it. Like, so we were at a little bit of a different perspective than maybe some other parents. But I totally see both sides of it, though. And certainly, you know, I would want my child to have a phone. But I would also hope, you know, you're not utilizing it while you're in school. You should know better. The same way I would hope you're not utilizing it if you're going to a movie or going to a concert or something like that. You know, you should be experiencing what it is that you're there for. Anyway, I got to take a break. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. But I've been getting questions from people that have asked about some of the other items that were for sale from the Edaville auction. And some of the things did go back up on Marketplace. Some people who bought them put them on Marketplace. But Edaville is listing some items through some of the employees as well. So if you check Facebook Marketplace, you're going to be able to find some of these things. Like the T-Rex costume from the person that used to walk around when Dinoland opened, and the T-Rex costume, that's just listed on Marketplace, $500. The Porky Pig statue that was over the barbecue pit, you can get that for $300. The Casey McBog costume, which somebody literally asked me about. They emailed me and asked me about $500. So there are items to be had for collectors who are interested. All right, we're going to go into the news now and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. And on the other side, we can talk to you. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Mike.
California judge rules the Menendez brothers will be able to be resentenced. Kim Kardashian finished testifying in her jewelry heist trial in Paris, and two MLB lifetime bans have been removed.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Nearly two dozen Democratic state attorneys general suing over President Trump's attempt to link some federal grants to immigration enforcement. This includes California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
We're suing President Trump for unlawfully imposing immigration enforcement requirements on billions of dollars in annual U.S. Department of Transportation and U.S. Department of Homeland Security grants.
The two lawsuits were filed in a Rhode Island federal court yesterday that looked to block the Trump administration's efforts to force the states to cooperate with immigration enforcement or not receive the funds. The grants are for things like disaster relief, cybersecurity, and transportation. A judge has resentenced convicted killers Eric and Lyle Menendez to 50 years for their crimes. Defense attorney Mark Garagos credits Judge Michael Jessick for making the correct ruling.
He did what justice said should happen, and he struck the special circumstance, and he sentenced them to 50 to life, which means they're immediately eligible.
The Menendez brothers have served decades in prison for the 1989 murders of their parents in Beverly Hills. The state parole board still holds final authority on whether or not to release them from prison and when. Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend, the prosecution star witness, will take the stand again today after breaking down in tears yesterday, describing the abuse and violence that she says she suffered at Diddy's hands.
Singer Cassie Ventura said Diddy forced her to stay awake for days to perform disgusting drug-fueled sex acts with other men that he called freak-offs. Prosecutors say Combs used his fame and power to sexually abuse women from 2004 to 2024. He's pleaded not guilty to all charges, including sex trafficking and racketeering. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Kim Kardashian has finished testifying in her multi-million dollar jewelry heist trial in Paris. The robbers charged with stealing more than $10 million in jewels from the reality TV star at a hotel in 2016. She was bound with zip ties and duct tape as the robbers took her jewelry, including a $4 million engagement ring given to her by Kanye West. The annual inflation rate slipped to 2.3% in April, lower than expected, and the lowest since February 2021. Tony Waterman says that the markets expected the consumer price index to increase to 2.4%.
The latest inflation data suggests that businesses are still trying to decide what to do about Trump's trade tariffs, eat the cost, or pass price increases along to consumers.
Excluding food and energy, the CPI was up 2.8% year over year, according to numbers out yesterday from the Labor Department. A condom theft turned into an armed robbery in Seattle Monday night. Police say a 16-year-old boy stole a box of condoms from a convenience store. The clerk followed the boy out of the store, and another teen in a car pointed a gun at the person as the car fled. Police found their car. They later rammed a patrol car. Police used a pit maneuver to stop them. Three 16-year-old boys were arrested. Three teenage girls were also in the car and detained and released. A stolen loaded shotgun was seized as evidence. Netflix is breaking ground on its new studios at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey.
In short, today's groundbreaking is a culmination of our efforts to supercharge this region's economy.
Governor Phil Murphy says Netflix will feature a dozen sound stages, and the project will not only create short and long-term jobs, but will include affordable housing units. Officials in New Jersey say the production campus is estimated to bring more than $4 billion to the local economy over the next 20 years. Pete Rose could earn a spot in the Major League Hall of Fame. The Cincinnati Reds great, as well as Shoeless Joe Jackson, both being removed from the MLB's banned list.
Love Pete, my favorite player of all time. 75s, 11, 12, the back-to-back world championships, and we invented hustle.
Commissioner Rob Manfred stated the punishment for banned individuals ends upon their deaths.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Tigers over the Red Sox in 11 innings last night, 10-9 in Detroit. Sox and Tigers back at it again tonight at 6:40. And the Celtics and Knicks are back in Boston tonight for Game 5. It's a must-win for the Celtics, who will play tonight without Jason Tatum.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Waking up on this Wednesday morning to a mostly cloudy sky, temperatures in the low 50s. And as we move into the afternoon, we welcome a couple of showers into the mix. Rain heavier at times here and there, but we do get some dry breaks throughout the day. Temperatures back into the 60s once again. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Robert Aloysius Brown. I don't know if that's his actual middle name, but how dare you? You just met that young lady. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. And we're going to get back into the cell phones in a minute. But as we're talking about kids in school, well, it's one thing about trying to determine if they should have cell phones in school or not. They've got to get to school first, right? And to do that, they might need your help, because Tremblay Bus Company is looking to hire bus drivers, van drivers, and monitors. And if you apply now, you could be on the bus by the time the next school year starts in September or late August, depending on your town. So what you want to do is you want to go to tbcbus.com, TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and start the ball rolling now so that you could be a bus driver, a van driver, or a monitor by the next school year. If you don't have a CDL, that's okay. They're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. But you could be earning great money for yourself, whether it be a second job or whether it be working around your kid's school schedule, or maybe you're retired and you just need a little bit of extra cash, or maybe you're just bored and you want to get out of the house every day for a little while. These are all great fits to work for Tremblay Bus Company as a bus driver, van driver, or monitor. Again, tbcbus.com to find out more information, tbcbus.com. So when the kids do get to school, should they have the cell phones or not? Barry's got the article up at WBSM.com and on the app. It's also on our Facebook page if you want to comment there. Linda in a cushion, it says that this comes in via app chat. They should not ban phones in school. The phones are a part of our lives, and they provide an element of safety as well. Discipline the use of phones. And, you know, we say that when you're in school, you've got to learn to kind of prepare yourself for being out there in the working world. In the working world, you're going to have a cell phone. When you get to college, you're going to have a cell phone. So learn at a young age the discipline of not needing to look at your phone every 5 minutes. And then you'll be a productive adult that doesn't need to do that either. Some of us need to use our phone to be productive adults. You know, there's so many arbitrary rules anyway. Remember when they told us in school you couldn't wear a jacket in class, even though you were cold, but you couldn't wear a jacket because that was a distraction? You couldn't wear a hat in school because that was a distraction? Those were arbitrary things. You've got to raise your hand and ask permission to go to the bathroom. That's an arbitrary thing. What a difference it made when I got to college. I was like, you mean I can bring a bottle of water into class with me? I can bring a coffee into class with me? This is crazy. I can chew gum. I can keep my jacket on if it's cold. This is insane. This place is lawless. You know what? Everything was fine. So I'm kind of in that camp of, you know, cell phones are a part of our lives. We've got to learn to use them properly, and that taking them away isn't necessarily the answer. I'd also said earlier, too, that I was going to tell you about this sandwich. So there's an article we have at WBSM.com and on the app. Was not written by me, but it talks about the popular food publication Love Food recently making their pick for every state's bucket list sandwich. And so they figured out, and again, these lists. See, when you see these articles, I just want you to know it's not us here writing them locally. It's other people in our company who write them, and then we publish them on our site. But believe me, we would be pushing the South Coast much more than these folks do. They're just going by what these publications say and these surveys say, and those are always going to be heavily skewed toward Boston. Like, they could have an article that says, the best Portuguese food in Massachusetts is served here. And then you go and you click on it, and it's going to be someplace in Boston that, you know, calls it chorizo. You're like, no, this can't be right. And so these surveys and these polls and these national food blogs are all going to be heavily skewed toward Boston. And so they're saying that the best sandwich in Massachusetts comes from a sandwich shop called, what's the name of the shop here? Casserole Bros. And that's the name of the sandwich. It's a Chilean sandwich. I don't know how to pronounce it. Chacarero? Maybe? And I'm trying to read through a little information here that kind of explains what it is. But they just have a bunch of Instagram posts. Okay. So it started off as a humble pushcart owned by Chilean native Juan Hurtado and is now one of Boston's busiest sandwich spots. The traditional Chilean sandwich features tender grilled steak or chicken, or a mix of both, and a soft round bread roll with tomatoes, steamed green beans, and Munster cheese. It's then topped off with mashed avocado and a spicy, peppery secret sauce. Now, that sounds good, but you're going to tell me that's the best sandwich in Massachusetts? You're going to put that up against a Francesina, one of the great Francesinas they make over at Restaurant Del Garve, or some of the other places that offer it? You're going to put that up against a Bufana sandwich? A casserole sandwich? Come on. That's why. You got to take these things with a grain of salt, pun intended. Although I don't like salt on my food, extra salt. But, you know, these are, like I said, heavily skewed toward Boston, and really they're from people that don't know what they're talking about because they don't come down here and try the food that we have. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break, and we'll be back in a few moments. Take your baby by the heel and do the next thing that you feel. All right. Hey, I'm taking a look outside the window. The sun is still out there. It's bright and shining. It's 62 degrees. I mean, we're going to get cloudy later, but right now it's out there shining, and that might be making you think about going solar. And if you are considering going solar, well, reach out to Isaacson Solar because they're going to give you honest, simple, straightforward answers to all of your questions about going solar. No runaround, no sales pitch, no coming and knocking on your door. They don't do that. They're not one of these companies that goes door to door, knocks on the door, sells a bunch of solar panels to people, and then screws out and leaves town. No, they are here to stay. They're located in Fall River, and they are here to be your partner in solar. So they're going to help you get your electric bills under control and maybe even get to the point where the electric company is paying you. How does it all work? I don't know, but they can tell you. And all you've got to do to set it up is go to isaacsonsolar.com and tell them, hey, I'd like to have a sit down. They'll come by. They'll answer all your questions. They'll take a look at your property. They'll tell you if you're a good fit. They'll tell you the different ways you could have solar. It's not just putting panels on your roof. It could be also putting them somewhere on your property. It could be building you a solar pavilion in your yard that you could use for shade while you're outside in the summer while also collecting the sun's rays for energy. It could be a carport that protects your car in the wet weather and in the wintertime while also collecting the sun's rays for energy. Lots of ways to incorporate those solar panels. And if you want to see some of their work, check out their Facebook page because they show photos and aerial photography and drone footage of the work that they've done. And you'll look at that and say, I would have no idea that there were even solar panels on this home if I didn't know it from looking at it on the Isaacson Solar page. So check it out and then go to their website, book that appointment, have them come out and talk to you. IsaacsonSolar.com. I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. I've got to get this last break in before we run out of time, and then we'll give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. He's going to have Mayor Mitchell in today. They've got a whole bunch of things they're going to be talking about, and they'll take your calls as well. We'll be back in a few moments. By the way, I saw Men Without Hats.